Yep, this is Trask XP. Another week, another approach to what we view today in sports, man. First of all, I got to start off with the OGs, man. Shout out to Ovechkin, Alex Ovechkin, Washington Capitals, man. Some young dude tried to test his will, thought he was washed up out here in these streets, man. But homeboy dropped that. He dropped him in like 3 seconds, bro, and they had to escort that man off the ice. You know, violence is never the answer, but in hockey, man, you're allowed to throw them bows. So if you can't throw them bows, don't test the limits, man, especially Ovechkin. You know, he don't got nothing to lose no more. That man is fresh off of a championship. He has nothing else to gain. He can walk away right now and be chilling, man, for real. Secondly, I know this is kind of overdue, but Tiger fucking Woods, man, winning the Masters, man. Like, man, they shitted on this man going on about 9 years now. Like, and it's already enough that his last majors he won on a fucked up ACL. So, like, come on, man. Like, that's just crazy. You know, and the fact that he came back. He's practically what, like, he's 40 something, but his body is really about 50 going towards 60 plus with all that extreme, you know, training. Like, homeboy was doing goddamn marine exercises when, you know, when he was fucking working out, man, doing marathons, being a triathlete, you know, a little after his prime doing the most. So, like, he got all this added baggage to what the hell he was doing, plus his back. Like, you know, the last major surgery he had was his back. So, and, you know, even he said he was stiff doing that. So, the fact that he even, yeah, man, what he pulled off, first of all, he was behind. You know, he shared the lead a couple of times, but he was behind by about maybe 2 strokes from the lead. Then, apparently, 2 guys ahead of him, both of them choked, both of them dropped in the water. And obviously when the water penalty in golf, you know, you automatically lose 2 shots. So they, I believe they bogeyed or double bogeyed off that. So they automatically dropped off the lead. So then, of course, he birdied about maybe 5 holes from their mistakes and he just shot up the leaderboard. Then all of a sudden, you know, and I'm included also. I'm a casual. I'm not some, you know, some golfer junkie. I mean, you know, these days, for guys my age, who really is? But, you know, I think I'm a little better than most casuals. Like, I know who Ben Hogan is. I know who Jack Nicklaus is. You know, I go through history books. I go through statistics and everything like that. You know, I know Tiger is 1 win off of Hogan's record of 82 wins. And because of the Masters he just won, he's still 3 away from Jack. And that's his dream. He says he was 6 years old, man. You know, he wants to pass Jack for 18 majors, and, you know, that was a big step forward. But, you know, the fact that he actually won in his fashion, he sealed the deal after being wrote off so many damn times and being told to quit or walk away, et cetera, et cetera. It's amazing, you know. And not just anybody that could pull that off, neither. Like, you know, there's no Vijay Singh or Paddington or Zach Johnson, you know, none of those motherfuckers are fucking doing it like that. Like, only Tiger Woods can do that, man. Like, only people that fell back so hard but are such a genius, they can pull off shit like that, man. Like, they can literally pull shit off like that. And I'm hyped for him, man. That was really heartwarming. You know, it's pretty damn great. It's pretty damn great. Him and Tom Brady at this current time is beating the odds and still could be the focal point of the sports world at any given moment on the big stage. So shout out to Tiger Woods, man. Secondly, you know, little dime drop real quick. Cassie Stanley, supposedly #1 overall in his class, finally said he's going to Duke. Shout out to him, man. He is going to be a Duke boy. It was between the home crib at UCLA, Kansas, and Oregon. Oregon was random as fuck, but I guess, but low key, you know, I want to be that guy. But I think Oregon had a bag man, and whoever doesn't know what a bag man is, is basically a guy who, you know, that gets student athletes, you know, financial compensation, you know, because there's no way, because Oregon don't get players like that. Like, Oregon ain't getting Cassius Stanley's and the Zions of the fucking world. Like, who the hell wants to go to Oregon? You know, the only thing good about Oregon is that, you know, Phil Knight's an alma mater, so to get all the best Nike stuff there is, you know, that's the only thing Oregon's getting. You know, like, besides their football program, you know, basketball, no top recruits going there for basketball. That's just what it is. So the fact that he was on his list, you know, shout out to them. They must have did something. Apparently, UCLA just got a new coach, so that's already out the door. You know, they already been kind of screwed up a little bit, even with, you know, LiAngelo and shenanigans from then. So nobody's really looking forward to them when it comes to their recruiting class. And Kansas must have dropped the ball, because, you know, Embiid went there, Andrew Wiggins went there, but I don't know. And they got a good coach in Bill Self, but I don't know, man. But the fact that supposedly Duke came in last minute, and, you know, if Duke calls, I don't give a damn who you are. You know, when it's Coach K, you sit your ass down and you listen. You see what the hell they got to offer. And sure enough, it must have been worth it. They must have gave him, you know, been offering the goddamn world, because probably three of the four freshmen that, no, a whole five, the whole freshman class that brought in the past year actually came in. So there's definitely like four of the five supposed to be going to the league. So he's guaranteed a spot some goddamn where. Definitely going to be the leading man going through. So shout out to Cassius, what's going on with there. And you'll see how that works from there. NBA playoffs. It's been fun. Jared Dudley. First of all, the fact that he's even, first of all, the role that he even plays during his whole tenure of his career, whether it was Phoenix or wherever the fuck Jared Dudley's been, man. The fact that his name is even really, you know, going through people's households, you know, actually using Al Gore's internet to see who the fuck Jared Dudley is or what the hell he has to say on anything in 2019 is pretty goddamn amazing. And you know, he got inside some heads. And he's not the first one that, you know, wanted to step to Ben Simmons of all damn people about some shit. Because, you know, Ben Simmons, he's talented, obviously, but sometimes he carries himself as the prima donna, man. Like, you know, whether it was the him and the Donovan Mitchell matchup, which, you know, Donovan Mitchell's my guy. It's more than just the last name. Like, Donovan Mitchell is just, he already carried the burden, you know, from jump. Ben Simmons had a little bit of help. Sixers tanked for five fucking years to build their goddamn team. You know, Jazz, they always been competitive, but the West is more competitive and more talented, period. So the fact that when they got this man and they've been in the playoffs ever since and winning 50 games in a season, I tout that more to him. You know, he didn't get a chance to be on the bench and, you know, and watch and learn nutrition and bulk up and learn a game. And as soon as he comes in, it becomes slower for him. Like, he didn't get that like Ben did. So, you know, but like I said, man, the Brooklyn and Sixers series, it's pretty entertaining, but we all know who's going to win. But the fact that Sixers slept at the wheel at the beginning and let Nets steal one, that should have never happened. Should have easily been a sweep. Easily been a sweep, man. And they could have stored another one, since, you know, MB got health issues as of late. But they couldn't do that. Ben went off for 31, 91 field goal percentage. With or without the goddamn jump shot, that's pretty damn fucking good. And they pulled that off. So that series is done. Raptors, same shit. They slept at the wheel. Let the Magic steal one, but they got their act together. That's going to be great. That's going to be all right. That's going to be light work, man. Then, let's see. Who else? Celtics swept Pacers. I mean, we already knew what time it was when Fick got injured. But, you know, the fact that Pacers, they had a puncher's chance. But that should have been a sweep from the get-go. That's light work. That's easily light work. Then Bucks Bucks just finished off tonight, so they're on their way to the second round. So Bucks Celtics should be good, because whoever wins that is pretty much, I would say, is a guaranteed slot in the finals, unless the Raptors got something to say. Because that's the only sleeper I could say from the East that can really go to the finals. But it's with it, you know, whoever wins the Bucks or Celtics is definitely going to the finals, I could say, out of the East. West side of things, Clippers, Warriors. Clippers, they stole one. The way how they stole one was amazing. 31 fucking points. Like, Warriors in meltdowns, I don't know what the fuck is that about, but they tightened ship and they made sure that shit's never happening again, especially with their level of expectation and the people that want them to lose and want them to disband and wondering where the fuck Durant's gonna go and et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, nah, they had to clean that up real quick, real steady. So that's how that's gonna go. Spurs Nuggets is fun. I chose Spurs to win that series, even though Nuggets should be the more talented team. But experience, like, you know, Pop is the best in the business right now. Pop is clearly the best in the business right now, and not much can be said of that, you know. So far as 2-2, as far as I know, as I'm concerned, I would double check that after this. But last time I checked, it was definitely 2-2. I believe they're going back to Spurs home floor, because, you know, they play 2 in Denver, they play 2 in San Antonio, and usually, you know, whoever's the weakest link, they usually have three games in a row at their career before they go back to the best records team. So I believe game 5 is definitely going to be in San Antonio. And so that should be going to be dope. See how that's going to happen. Then, let's see. Portland, OKC. Dame Westbrook, obviously the matchup we wanted to see. It's kind of disappointing. Portland was obviously going to be the winner, but Thunder always had the type of firepower to where they can keep up, if not steal a series. And for whatever fucking reason, that did not happen. Paul George is arguably playing the best ball of his career, whether he got a banged up shoulder supposedly or not. That damn sure didn't look like it when he wanted to double pump in the fucking game. But Paul George played the best fucking ball of his career this year. Westbrook, he is one of the few MVPs from the guard position, let alone the point guard position. So he has already solidified himself as undeniably one of the best players in the league. I don't give a damn how many triple doubles he put up. The fact that his game is not translating into winning games, winning series, winning when the fuck it matters. So ever since Kevin Durant left, and we're on year 3 of the departure of KD to Golden State, that's not great, man. And, you know, and it's already enough that you're dealing with Dame, who, you know, he lost the big man in Nurkic to a freak accident. You know, that was unfortunate. You know, Portland with their injury history, period, with that damn franchise, it's just really cruel. Like, I don't know. I don't know what basketball guys, they got beef with them, but it's just not a great history. So off rip, Dame got a big ass chip on his shoulder. He has a major responsibility and he's ready to go. You know, he's firing on all cylinders. Like, homeboy made 6 30 footers in a fucking row, unfazed. Like, who else is doing that in the league besides Steph Curry? You know, like, that man's ready to rumble, you know. So 3-1 heading back to Portland. I think Portland shuts them out. If OKC does steal one, I don't think Dave's gonna let that shit go to game 7. You know, CJ McCollum's been ready to go. They're getting some contributions from their front court from Aminu, who can do a little bit of everything. Mo Harkless, Queens guy, St. John's guy, shout out to him. You know, he's been putting his 2 cents in, and he's been holding down the fort. So that should be fun to see that close out. Houston, Utah, I want Utah to steal one, because it's always usually tough to win in Utah. So I hope they don't go out like suckers. I really don't. But, you know, if Houston got the firepower, Houston got the firepower. You know, there's not much you can do about that, you know. So I'm just going to have to freaking wait and see on that bad boy. I don't know what else to say when it comes to that. Then the draft, NFL draft, that's coming up soon. I'm going to try to put together some pieces when it comes down to how the draft is going to fall out. But, shoot, I mean, Arizona, top pick. It's looking a bit cloudy right now. There's so many fucking reports about, is Josh Rosen going to go? He's going to be traded, da-da-da. Kyle Murray's the pick, such-a-such-a. I mean, listen. Kyle Murray, they keep saying about his size. Not like Russell Wilson. It's not a perennial Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champ, married to a supermodel. Then now, recently, the highest paid player in the NFL. A barely 6 foot guy is the highest paid player in the fucking NFL. Where a short guy's not supposed to thrive. They're supposed to be getting banged up and basically supposed to be bullied. No big deal. But, you got a guy who can damn near remotely do the same thing. Probably not the same thing as IQ, perhaps. But, we can't adjust that until Kyler Murray hits the goddamn field. But, in terms of just ability from their stature, Kyler Murray is way better the athlete than Russell Wilson ever was and probably ever will be. Like, he gets his launch angle from any corner of the field, either on the run or on the pocket. It's just unfucking fair, man. Like, it's really unfair. Oh, man. Like, it's really thorough, man. It's really fucking thorough. So, we're going to see what's going on with that one. Quinn Williams, he's a big boy. They're trying to compare him to Aaron Donald when it comes to his goddamn measurables. That should be cool. We'll see what's going to happen. Josh Allen, Kentucky guy. Apparently can go a versatile linebacker. Rush can do a little bit in coverage. 17 sacks in his prior season, but I don't know. I'm either the Jets don't steal him, even though supposedly Jets want to trade down so fucking badly. I don't know why. You got a top three pick. Just got your franchise quarterback and getting some pieces together. You got Le'Veon Bell. Your defense is still pretty young. Around Leonard Williams and friggin' Jamal Adams in the backfield. So that should be fun automatically. Then it should be just get a quality pick, man. And unless you can finesse maybe like another first rounder, get two first rounders to trade back up. Probably like a third rounder for some compensation. Play the board, try to stack up a bit because you still got some salary cap to move around and shit. So, that should be fun. Shoot, man. Then I'm trying to see. I'm a Giants guy. It's either quarterback or a defensive stout. I hope we get Devin White, though. But the way the Raiders been looking at him and the Khalil Mack situation when they wanted to trade him for basically two cans of Pringles, if they don't get Devin White, they're idiots. They should try to heal that wound up quick and steady, especially if they got two first-rounders anyway, one at fourth and one, I believe, at 22nd. So definitely wrap that up. But as far as the other teams is concerned, like I said, I'll try to address that later because, I still got some work to do when it comes down to finalizing my big board. And, I'll try to put that on paper, whether it's on the gram or, I'll try to address that in the next episode. I'll try to do the emergency one right before Thursday. Sure, but let me see, man. Nothing else more crazy. I'm sorry. No, something randomly just crazy happened as I'm recording. Luke Walton, supposedly sexual allegations. Man, I don't. It's. Obviously, we're dealing with a serious situation. Whether it's him, whether it's porn singers, it's something about these big cities, man, and getting caught up in, bullshit, bro. It's like, why? As serious as the allegations are, I'm just curious. Like, supposedly this happened, they said May 2017, so we're talking about almost 2 years. Obviously, voices from women that are truly our victims can be silenced or ignored or not believed. We've seen that throughout history. But it's like, as a big of a figure or even a remotely famous or well-endowed person, whether it's Luke Walton, whether it's Porzingis, whether it was Derrick Rose a couple of years back, I just wonder, like the statute of limitations, why test it so damn far? Why not, you know, why not just handle it immediately as far as possible? Yes, we understand that rape kits may not particularly work as properly as it should. You know, we've already been proven that when there was the young lady that walked around Columbia University with the mattress and she made Congress, you know, kind of better proof the rape kits from then on out. But it's like, if they really did within the act, you know, whether it's assault, hopefully, you know, nothing more extinguishes like raping that, but within that territory, it's like, why, you know, why hold out on it? You know, especially in a realm to where such things as Title IX, it's getting more powerful. Like, it's getting more sensitized, you know, it's getting more, being considerate, you know, like the feminism movement is pretty much out front. And people are putting money down on that. Like, what's the holdup when it comes down to going through that process? I really don't understand that. You know, people are waiting, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Like, I'm really want to try to figure that out. And what's their mentality when it comes through that? Like, what are they hopping, going through hoops when it comes down to, you know, being believed and, you know, putting it out there and, you know, I don't know. And the fact that this story broke from TMZ doesn't make it any better, because TMZ is just a messy motherfucker as it is. So we're going to see how that goes. But most importantly, this is another log added to the Lakers fire as of late when it comes down to getting LeBron James and still not making the playoffs and Magic quitting randomly. And Lonzo, and another chapter to this saga, man. It's not
great.
LA is not looking great. They're supposed to be trying to attract free agents. Like, with this madness going on, like, you got to throw a hell of a bag if that's going to happen, because it is not looking cute right now for the Los Angeles Lakers. Not at all, man. Not at all. So, we'll see how that goes. Not much really happened this week, man. You know, I'm not a Game of Thrones guy, but I see it being celebrated through multiple sports chapters. But, you know, I'm going to say that's about it, man. The draft is coming up. Baseball. Can somebody tell me how in the hell the Rays and Seattle Mariners are leading the division by, like, a large margin, getting, like, 15 wins and only 4 losses? That's... while the Yankees have about 11 injuries with a combined 25 all-star appearances, like, we literally lost our entire lineup. Like, we basically swapped the Yankees with probably single A baseball. I don't know, man. We're lucky it's still April and they're still chugging around. But, you know, that's just how that's going to go for now. Otherwise, we'll check back in later on this week. It's Trash Takes P.